Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ray Silva sends his apologies. He was supposed to be here today and do part two, but he's a little under the weather. He called. He has that flu, one of the flus that's going around. He sounded terrible, right? So I told him we would pray for him this morning. Eddie, would you lead some prayer for him? Thank you.
Well, hallelujah. Father, Lord,
yes.
God, we just thank you, first of all, for just being here today, Lord, and everyone that's here, Father God. But, Father, we do lift up those in our bodies and those that we know of, our family members, Lord, that are affirmed, Lord God. We just pray for your healing, anointing hand to be upon these people, Lord God. Just heal them. Father, let there just be healing in your body, Lord God, in your family, Lord God, and let them just glorify you for the healing that they're going to receive. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Eddie. But since Ray isn't going to be here, I get the honor of doing the teaching. As soon as he's well, if he's well next week, he's going to come back and finish his part two or the week after, depending on how he's feeling. So we're not going to miss it. We only got part one. We'll get part two today, next week or the following week. All right? All right. I always like to start off by wearing the right glasses. Yes, I got looking glasses and I got seeing glasses. This is the ones I see with and this is the ones I look with, so there's a difference. Let me ask the question. Stop eating and pay attention for 1 second to this question. But that goes right along with a question I want to ask. I'm glad you said that, Sharon. Sharon didn't even know what I was going to be teaching on, but let me ask one fast question, and I'll give you 5 seconds to give me an answer, and I'm going to call on some people. Show of hands to start with. How many perfect Christians do we have here? Fred, you can't go up and down, Fred. It's one or the other. Huh? Whatever, right or wrong, I'm in.
Dwayne used to be, but
simple question. Listen one more time. How many perfect Christians do we have here? One more time. Raise your hands, please. All right.
See, when Bob asks a question, you always got to answer the opposite of what you think. Right? Okay, don't do what you
think, right? Cody, are you a Christian? Give him the microphone, please.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Are you a perfect Christian?
No. Define perfect.
It's too late now. You've already answered the question. So you're telling me you didn't know what the question was, but you answered it.
I mean,
what do you mean?
It depends who you ask. If you ask me, I guess I could say that I'm a perfect man. But if you ask my wife, she might say otherwise.
I didn't ask you if you were a perfect man, did I?
True.
Simple question. I ask, how many perfect Christians are there here? And you didn't raise your hand.
Right.
So you assumed you were not a perfect Christian.
Right.
So I think one thing to ask would be a very valid question. What is perfect? Mm-hmm. Do you have an answer? What's perfect? Somebody look on your phone and give me a Webster definition of perfect, please.
Brian's on it.
He can't even find his phone. He's asleep over there. Completeness. Yes.
Not defective nor redundant, having all the properties or qualities requisite to its nature and kind, without flaw, fault, or blemish, without error.
Oh, then you should have...
One more time. Everybody, give him the microphone. Cody. I want you to listen to this.
Here you go. Brought to consummation or completeness, completed, not defective nor redundant, having all the properties or qualities requisite to its nature and kind, without flaw, fault, or blemish, without error, mature, whole, pure, sound, right, correct. And they give a scripture here in it.
No, that's good enough.
No, they give a scripture.
I don't want the scripture. I might be using it. Take the microphone from him. You're not teaching today. Get the microphone from him. Now, you heard that, right, Cody? Does that change what you would have said if you had heard that definition first?
I mean, no. In a way, I'm still going to say no.
Okay. Good. I like a man to stay.
You just make me feel like you're asking.
Hold on, baby. Hold on.
I want to talk clean, please.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Greg, do not give her the
no. No, please. Please.
So, okay, I'm not going to lie. The first thing that came to my mind was, I'm complete in Christ.
Right.
That thought came to my mind, but I'm like, I ain't raising my hand because I'm full of sin. But then I have my pastor sitting here next to me explaining to me what are we perfect. And yet,
hold on. You said you're not a liar.
I'm not a liar because...
Well, no. I'm not disagreeing with that. But you are a cheat. You're asking the pastor for help.
This is
a test, and you're cheating.
I did cheat.
Oh, okay.
And he said that I am complete. I am. We are made perfect in Christ. So yes, I am perfect. Yeah. I struggle with it.
You can't even form your mouth to say that.
Because I struggle with
it.
I struggle with it.
No, that's,
but knowing that
no,
I
am glad because that's exactly what I wanted to say. Most of us would have problems saying, are you perfect? Are you a perfect Christian? Oh, no. People ask us all the time, well, you're just acting holier than now. And it's usually somebody that isn't even saved that asked you that. And you know what your answer should be? You're doggone right. I'm holier than you. Right? Are we supposed to be holy? Let me ask you a question. Are we supposed to be perfect? All right. Now, to answer all these questions, what do you think we should do? Ashley, what should we do? Well, say that one more time. I got to get this on tape. This girl is so smart. So smart.
Why are they on this side of the room?
Open your Bible app or the actual Bible if you have it.
Yes. For our definition of anything, for our answer to anything, where should we go? God's Word. Not Webster, but in this case, it does agree with the Bible, so it is correct as far as we're concerned, right? But that's the ultimate thing. So I'm going to take a look at, try and answer some questions on this next little bit here. First, like I said, who here is a perfect Christian? Everybody was afraid to raise their hand, so we're going to talk about that. Let me ask another question. Who wants to be perfect? Why? Hold on.
Because the Word says... God says, be perfect as I am perfect.
Take the microphone from her. Go sit with Brian. Oh, you're absolutely right. And that would answer the next two questions, which was going to be, should we be perfect? Just because we can do something, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to. That would be a question, should we be and can we be? Just because we should do something, can we do it? And if all those are true, the most important, the next question would be what? How do we do it? Right? All right. So let's jump in here and take a look at a few scriptures. Colossians 1, I'm sorry. This is, if it's good enough for... Colossians 1:28. Everybody turn to your devices and whatever. I'm going to read three different versions here, all right? Normally, we do the NIV, but for this teaching, I picked out three different versions that we need. I think that between the three kind of cover everything totally as far as perfection. In the King James, all you King James-only people, you're going to be real happy. This is the New King James. I apologize, so you're not... completely happy. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Same verse. Perfect in Christ. I think that was kind of said a little bit earlier. Pastor Don has kind of spread the word out there. And you know why that's so smart? That's answered everything, isn't it? Any question you asked up here, just say, Jesus. Always works, right? In the NIV, it says, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Instead of the word perfect, they're using the word fully mature. And from the definition, basically the same thing. Yes, this is the new NIV. Yes, yes, yep. Thank you. And now here, let me throw a real odd one in here, the New Life version. Anybody have a New Life Bible? Oh, she is high tech. All right, the New Life version. We preach Christ. We tell every man how he must live. What? We tell everybody how to live? Is that right? Guarantee it's right. Because everywhere you go, somebody's going to be telling you how to live. You ever turn on TV, what do commercials do? They tell you what you should buy. They should tell you, every TV show tells you how you should live. What is normal, right? Everybody's telling you. So why would we not get in the bandwagon since we have the truth? We preach Christ. We tell every man how he must live. We used wisdom in teaching every man. We do this so every man will be complete in Christ. That was part of your definition, wasn't it? So what we're going to talk about this morning is being a perfectly mature and complete Christian. Right? Do you think that's an attainable goal? Yep.
Can I read something?
Please. Microphone, young man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did I really like what you said?
Yes, please. No, please do.
This helps us to understand a little bit more so that we do not struggle to say that, yeah, we are holy. We are perfect. To this end, I labor, striving with all his strength, which is powerfully at work within me. He is powerfully at work within each and every one of us because we know that in our sin, we don't want to sin. So he takes us from level to maturity. So that scripture helps me to understand and say, yeah, I am holy and without sin and perfect because of Christ that lives within me.
Absolutely. Thank you. So one of the questions I asked, should we be perfect? Everybody agreed. All right, now that we got rolling, everybody's on the bandwagon willing to raise their hands now, but nobody was at first, right?
Right.
Pastor Don, he raises his hand to everything. He figured 50-50, you know. In Matthew 5:48, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect. And who's our example in everything is Christ, right? God. Is he perfect? Did he make us? Can we be perfect in his eyes? Yes, we can. See, we're harder on ourselves than God is. Do you know that? God is easier on us than we are on ourselves usually. You know, you don't need an enemy. All you need is a mirror and a boxing glove and just beat yourself up every day, right? Don't do that. Stop and think. See what the Word said. God loves us, right? He wants us to be complete. He wants us to be mature, complete Christians. All right. 2 Corinthians, answer still to the same thing. Should we be perfect? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. First thing there is to get rid of everything that's not perfect in your life. And what's that? Give me an example of something that's not perfect. Don't even have to. I'll give you an answer to all of that. Anything that doesn't come from God, right? Plain and simple. There's plenty of imperfection around. Throw a rock, you can find that. But it's just as easy to find perfection. Every one of you's got God's word there. We're all living words, right? Then the other question I believe I asked is, can we be perfect? I think Betty already answered that one, and very aptly too, Betty. In James 3:2, James 3:2. Turn your device, young lady. There you go. I remember the old days when I used to say, turn in your Bibles too. Yeah, but it's not easy being a dinosaur these days. James 3:2. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Remember, there's so many start with. We all stumble in many ways. It's not talking about a fall. We all stumble, right? That happens. But that is not, we make mistakes. But being perfect is not making mistakes. We've got that down, right? And that's what normally we think of when we talk about being perfect. You never make a mistake. We have this TV satellite station that has all of the old-time wrestling from 1955 all the way up to basically the present. But if you remember, you might remember this, Pastor Don, back in the, I believe it was the late 80s, they had this wrestling, you know, they all have their persona, who they're supposed to be. They had a guy and he called himself Mr. Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Perfect, one of my personal heroes. You don't remember that? Probably for your time, Brian. No, Mr. Perfect. You're Mr. Wonderful, remember, yeah. And he would just brag that, you know, everything he did was perfect. He was a perfect, if he went and played golf, every time he hit the ball, it was a hole in one. Every time he rolled the bowling ball, it was a strike. Everything he did was perfect, right? And that's kind of the idea we have when we think of the word perfect. And that is not the biblical definition of perfect. Because right there, it just talked about a stumbling, and then in the next verse, being perfect. Now, how could the two go hand in hand if you had to do everything right to be perfect? Yes, sir.
You were talking about perfect, you know, bowling, and that and sparked in my memory. I don't know how many of you remember an old Twilight Zone where this guy dies. He didn't know he was dead. But he thought he was in heaven. And so he was like a pool hustler. And he's making every shot, everything he's doing. Yep. And he's, you know, oh, this is the greatest thing. Well, what happened was he could never not miss.
Yes.
And so then he started getting frustrated because it was like there was no challenge to the game anymore. You know, and then the guy, I think it was Sebastian Cabot, you know, he's all dressed. You remember Sebastian Cabot from Family Affair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you thought he was the angel leading him around, but at the end the guy goes, I can't stand it. Send me to the other place. He goes, what do you mean the other place? Yeah, you know, to hell. He goes, this is hell. You know, and what it was a place of total perfection that you could not screw up. And it showed you this reality, you know, the difference how we think
challenge?
A lot of times. Yeah. That's why I like those Twilight Zones because they would take a different look at things. So this guy who wanted to be the best, well, he got his wish, but it became pure hell because he could never not lose. And you could imagine going through life and I think they'd had him going to a casino and he could, you know, he's playing craps and he couldn't lose at the crap table. And finally he tells Sebastian Cabot, I gotta lose, you know. And he says, well, we can arrange that. He goes, no, it wouldn't be the same because I would know that you set it up. So it was pretty cool to see how this guy thought he was in heaven at first, but as it went on and on, he really was in hell because he was getting everything he wanted, but yet it didn't satisfy, you know, that there was no challenge to it.
Absolutely. How many people know it's a challenge being a Christian? Agreed? All right, everybody raise their hand on that one. I hope You agree with that one, Cody?
Yeah.
Okay. You look quite dapper today, too. Yes, rough crowd. But it starts off in James 3:2 that we all stumble, right? So admit that's going to happen. But your perfection is not based on you. And the next sentence in that, in James 3:2, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. We've read so many scriptures that say, out of the mouth comes what? The heart. From the heart comes out of the mouth, right? Sooner or later, right? Whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. We all stumble and say shuckin' sometimes or something like that. But we're talking about the same. Shuckins. Look that one up. Brian, look up shuckins. It's an old country saying.
Obviously.
See, it's an old southern saying. Not quite as far south as Mexico, but just about. I guess if you're from Mexico, we were northerners. All right, I'll talk to Donna then. Donna, you're Mexican, right? Thank you. No, that is shucking, I-N-G. No, I said shuck-ins. All right. Don't even look that one up. That one's too difficult. You're not mature enough to be able to handle that one yet, okay? Let's work on your maturity, and then you will be able to understand the wisdom I'm laying out here. If we're able to keep our tongue in check, we can keep our whole body in check, is what it's saying. Think before you speak, think before you do something. Right? That's exactly what it's saying. You want to be perfect, that's what you do. I don't necessarily like those old bracelets they used to wear. What would Jesus do? I'm not Jesus. You're not Jesus. His plan was different than the plan God has for me, so what I do is not going to necessarily follow what Jesus was supposed to do. As far as I know, I'm not destined to die on a cross that I know of, right? That's not my destiny. So why should I follow the same path? We each have a different path. What should you do in your path, in your walk? Everybody has a different plan, purpose, and will for their life. Every one of us. There's a lot of things that are very similar and actually the same in all our lives, but there's a little bit of difference. It's like a crossword puzzle. Or not a crossword puzzle. What do they call those? The ones they fit together. No, the puzzles. Jigsaw puzzle. Jigsaw puzzle. You get one that's got like a 5,000 pieces or something. You ever throw them out? They all look the same at first, don't they? In our Christianity, we all look the same, but there is subtle differences because we're supposed to be in a different spot. I'm supposed to be over here. You're over here to make the big picture. And I'll even jump into that. That is a good analogy of completeness. Each one of those puzzle pieces are different. And is a puzzle piece for a jigsaw, if you look at it, is it symmetrical? Is it perfect? No, it's like a drunk amoeba or something that's been stepped on. But if you take one, maybe four or five, and just cut one little edge off of it, one of the little lines or squigglies or something, right? When you put that puzzle together, does it look right? You're going to notice that little imperfection, aren't you? And that's the same way. Why we have to be perfect is to make the whole picture perfect. The whole picture of what? What Christ has planned for the world, right? We're part of that. We're not all the same, but it's close enough in our Christianity that if you poured us all together, hopefully we'd all look the same, just like that jigsaw puzzle. It says, if you can keep your tongue and what you say in check, you can keep your whole body in check. You're usually not going to do something without thinking about it, saying it without that first, right? And we have the ability to do that through Christ, right? Not through ourselves. Let me read you a story. Story that we've heard many, many, many times, I'm sure. If you will turn on your devices to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. It's, of course, one of my favorite stories. The rich young man in the kingdom of God, right? We've heard this story many times. This story I love. You could probably make about 800 teachings out of this one story alone because there's so much in here. Let's read it again. I know we've all read it, but let's go one more time. There's a point here I want to make with this one. Starting at verse 16. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" That seems a little pertinent, doesn't it? Impertinent, I mean. Go up to Christ. Would any of us dare to do that unless we thought we were perfect? Right? How many of you go up to Pastor Don every day? "What do you want me to do, Pastor?" Oh, usually we see him coming, we run and hide, right? Ken, what do you do when you see me coming? Run and hide. But yet he goes up and asks. So in his heart, he thought he was already doing everything right. He was just looking for a pat on the back, it could be, right? Or he could have been serious. We don't know, but let's take a look. "Why do you ask me what is good?" Again, if the young man didn't ask about heart issues, attitudes, did he? What must I do? Remember, they're still under the law at this time, right? So it was the right thing to do. Ask what I must do. Under the law, it was simply a doing, right? It hadn't been internalized like we are now. Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good." Right? We said that earlier. Anything that comes from God is good. Anything that doesn't come from God is bad. Simple. If you want to enter life, the afterlife, heaven, keep the commandments. They were still under the law. You wanted to make it to paradise, you did what? You kept the commandments. Now, I'm sure this young man knew or thought that he was keeping the commandments. But notice the question he asks. Which one? Which one? Was he really that much of a scholar if he thought that you could just do one law? Brian? Hold up. I'm sorry. Yours says what? Says what? I'm sorry.
It says which ones.
Same thing. Which ones, right? Shouldn't it be, yeah, which ones? So there's some that he didn't have to keep. That's the whole point. Don't you have to keep the entire law? To be sinless means what? You don't sin. To be obedient to the law means you're obedient to all of it, right? Cop stops you for speeding on the way home. Do you think you can tell him, "Well, the last 5 years I've never speeded, officer, so you can't give me a ticket"? You're going to get a ticket, right? It only takes one time. It only takes breaking one law to be a lawbreaker. But he asks, which ones, right? Jesus replied, and Jesus makes this one simple. You know, he's playing this guy along here, really. "You shall not murder." Do you think if the guy was a murderer, he'd come up and ask Christ something like that? No. He's speaking with Jesus. Jesus knows his heart better than he does. He already knows the man's life better than he does. And more importantly, Jesus knows the end of his life, which this man doesn't. "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." Those are probably the most basic tenets. It's obvious that this young man is keeping the basics, isn't it? Or he wouldn't have the gall to go up to Christ and ask such a question. Jesus asks that question or answers that question. And then here's what the young man said. All these I have kept. What do I still lack? Why would he say that? It's obvious that he's keeping the commands that Jesus just laid out there. Why would he ask, what am I lacking? Why didn't he simply say, thank you, I'm saved, I'm on my way to paradise? Adios, Jesus, see you up there. He says, what? What do I still lack? He knew there was something missing in his life. Because he was not satisfied. He was not happy. He was not content. It's how we feel when we don't have Christ in our life, for example, today. Before we got saved, how we felt. He knew that even though he was keeping most of the law, and of course the most important one, that there was something still lacking. And that is great. You know what that was in this man's case, young man? It was actually the calling of Christ. The Holy Spirit at this time was still calling people, right, that were following Christ. It was early on. This man had a calling on his life. He knew that this wasn't enough. He knew, but he couldn't exactly understand it, that he needed a Savior. He seemed to understand that by that question. Then Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect. Now, the young man never asked him about being perfect, did he? Now, this is Christ, not me. If you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. We've heard this story so many times, and everybody always talks about, well, he was so rich. He didn't want to give that up. He had something in his heart about richness, right? But I think the most important thing here was the last thing that Jesus said. Come follow me. Right? That was the hard part. Jesus knew that he didn't want to give up his soft life. He didn't want to give up his easy life. He didn't want to give up what he was used to. It wasn't just the riches. It's just what we're used to. Even in our sin, there's many times we had heard the gospel that we didn't answer to it, did we? We were still wallowing like the pigs, and we're happy. You know, I'll just stay here in the mud. I'm doing good. Most of us never got saved the first time we ever heard about Jesus, did we? So this young man is no different. And he's actually speaking with him. Said, then the young man heard this. He went away sad because he had great wealth. If you want to be perfect, see, each one of us, there's a different answer on if you want to be perfect. This young man had a problem with laying down the things in his life to follow Jesus. But if we read between the lines, what Jesus is saying here, to be perfect is what? To follow Christ. It's very simple. Right? If you want to be perfect, you follow Christ. And that doesn't mean 3 times a year you come to church and you throw $5 in the plate and everything is hunky-dory. You can live the rest of the time however you want. Hunky-dory, another one. Another one. Are you guys ready for this yet? We're getting deep today, all right?
We kind of know what that is,
Bob. Okay. Thank you. Look at everybody reading it. What's that mean? Like, I love when Pastor Don mentions some of them old people or shows or something. I look around at the young kids. Who is that? We're going to end there. I'll be back next week, unless Ray is well. Then I'm going to have him finish part two. Then I'll be back the week after that to finish this off. Okay? But now, let me end by asking a question, and we're going to still fill this in. But I think you're getting a general idea today. How many perfect Christians do we have here? Raise your hand. Some are still having problems doing it, aren't we?
Do it.
All right. We're going to get you fully mature to where you can raise your hand, right?
That's right.
All right. We're going to end here. If who would like to, would you let Cody close us today since I picked on him so much?
Work harder here than at work. All right, thank you, Lord. We thank you for everyone that made the trip out here on this frigid weekend, Lord.
And yes.
Lord, we just ask you that, that we just focus on working hard every single day towards being that perfect Christian, towards allowing you to perfect our faith, Lord. And, Father, we just ask you that as we go into worship, that you prepare the sanctuary, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit is just everywhere in the sanctuary, that you bless the worship, you just bless everybody on the team, Lord, and we just ask you that you bless the message following that as well. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.